The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Between the Synapse with Mark Tobin. If you're looking to learn something useful, you've come to the wrong place. But as Belushi once said, it don't cost nothing. So let's get things started. Here's Mark Tobin.
All right, and welcome to Between the Synapse. As the lady just said, I'm your host, Mark Tobin. I am broadcasting from fabulous downtown Burbank. All right, so today is open line. It is your chance to call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. So please do so if you want. It's pretty simple and it's free. All you got to do is dial 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. So I hope you do. And we can talk about, here's some ideas. The Daily Show, what do you think of the replacement? Trevor Noah, good, bad, indifferent. Love to hear your thoughts on that. What about Mad Men? Are you going to be watching the last installment of the show? Have you stuck around? How do you rate it? Is it one of the greatest dramas of all time? What do you think? Call in, let me know. What do you think about Senator Menendez being indicted for corruption? Typical Jersey politics or something more? What else is going on? Let's see. There's a lot going on. We can talk about Indiana, though it's been talked about to death. But here's the thing about that. Governors. You know, I would love a governor. I'm from Texas. I would love a governor who is not looking to run for president. With George Bush and then Rick Perry for God knows how long, we've had these governors who every move that they made was looking for higher office with an eye towards how is it going to look nationally? How is this going to affect whether I could win the Iowa primary? And I got to tell you, it makes for some pretty awful governance. And you look at Mike Pence, and I think that he's seeing the same thing. However, it blew up in his face with this Indiana religious rights law, which is not the same as the federal law, which was signed in 1993 by President Clinton. It doesn't prevent discrimination against all classes, including lesbian and gays. So it's a problem, and he walked right into it, and it seems to be dramatically hurting his introduction into the national stage. I think the best example people can look to as far as a governor who has national aspirations and how he acts and one who doesn't is Jerry Brown in California. And if anybody's listening in California, I'd love to hear your thoughts. And, I don't know if everything that he's doing is spot on and right and everybody agrees with him or not. But I do know that the decisions he's making are being made on whether he thinks they're good or bad for California. Now, once again, people in California may agree or disagree. but he's not making those decisions based on how the nation is going to be looking at those decisions in terms of when he goes out and runs for president, which was what his goal was when he was president back in, I think it was the late 70s or early 80s. And so he's a totally different kind of governor. He's a governor who is focused on governance and not on running for higher office. And don't get me wrong, I don't begrudge people who are looking to step up. You know, lofty goals, people who want to serve their country at higher levels. I don't have a problem with that. That's not the issue here. It's just that the campaigns for president begin so early. You know, you take Ted Cruz here in Texas. His presidential campaign began when he first started running for Senate. He was running on national platforms, not on platforms that were germane necessarily to the state of Texas. And so 2 years after he's elected to the Senate, he's running for president. And this doesn't necessarily apply just to Republicans. It's just that because of the dynamics of the Republican race, we're seeing that far more right now because Hillary basically has the field closed to other Democrats, that she is essentially the only going to be the only primary candidate for the Democrats, whereas the Republican race is wide open. You've got, you know, anywhere from, you know, 10 to even 20 plus candidates, people who are thinking about it. Everybody has an eye towards higher office as they're trying to govern their respective state, or perhaps as they are, you know, in the Senate or even in the Congress. And that doesn't always produce great results. And I guess it would be okay if you only had a couple people doing it. But when you have this many people looking upwards at the same time, it creates what I can only call a huge clusterfuck of politics. And that's what we're seeing now, particularly in Indiana. I don't know what's going to happen with these kinds of laws in other places such as Arkansas and Georgia, and I think it's one of the Carolinas, but all those other states are taking pause. Typically, it looks like the governors are saying, hey, hold on a second. In Georgia, I know the governor sent it back saying, look, you need to put some protection here so that nobody can be discriminated against. And the Senate author said, well, that was the whole point. You're gutting my law. And so whether that law actually even comes up again is unclear. But it's interesting, this whole dynamic. You know, had Mike Pence not had his eye on the White House, you know, and whether he thought he really had a shot at the White House or maybe he just wanted to be around to be a vice presidential candidate, who knows, would he have signed that bill? Because I can't imagine that he would have signed it had he not been thinking about, well, if I don't sign this, I'm not going to have my hardcore conservative bona fides stamped, and I'm going to be criticized in the primaries by the people that I really need in order to prevail, that I'm going to be criticized too much for not signing it, so that I'm going to be wiped out. So, you know, he might have actually put on a different hat and looked at this in a different light. But the bottom line is, now as a country, instead of looking at the kinds of things that and talking about the kinds of things that we need to be talking about, be it you know, foreign affairs or the economy or the vast separation in income between people or whatever, tax reform, we're back to these same wedge issues. And the question will be, are these the kinds of issues that are going to determine the next election? Quite frankly, if it is, I think that from the Republican perspective, it's going to work against them again, because if the Republicans can't show to the general public that they are about anything but hatred, they're not going to prevail on the national stage. You know, as much as I might relish in that fact, I also am concerned about how that's going to play out in terms of moving our nation along, of resolving the issues that we have to resolve, because the wing of the Republican Party that continues to focus on these issues doesn't seem to be going anywhere at the moment. And until they do, we're going to be stuck in this same place, which is, you know, dealing with, you know, gay marriage when it really is resolved already. And I think the Supreme Court will resolve it once and for all. We're going to be going back to it once, you know, all the time. And other religiously motivated issues that separate us unnecessarily. That's what's being uncovered by this whole Indiana issue. And, oh, by the way, the fact that the Final Four is in Indiana this weekend is just going to shed more light and provoke more discussion. So I don't think that's going to be going away anytime soon. All right. So we got a caller on hold. But before I take that, I do want to go to a quick break. If you've got something you want to talk about on any of the subjects I've mentioned so far, or anything else you want to talk about, the NCAA tournament, talk about how bad your bracket is, whatever it is, give me a call. Once again, the number here is 866-472-5788. We'll be back after this break on Between the Synapses.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
There are over 140 million products manufactured worldwide. It is impossible to know the ingredients in these products, especially those made overseas. Stan Salat, creator of the HSF Mark and the Counterfeit Mark Alliance, is the host of People to People, working together for your safety. Stan believes in our right to know the type and amount of hazardous materials in consumer products and whether they are counterfeit. Find out how you can protect yourself every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
What can you find on Get Real Radio? Well, quite honestly, who you really are. Join host James Robinson each week for a program designed to reveal more about yourself and your world through words of wisdom and profound guests. You'll discover more about the spiritual movement and how it can work with you and alert you to problems you may not be aware of. It will educate, titillate, and enlighten your mind. Get Real Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This could end up being the best time of your week.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. You're talking to Between the Synapse. I am Mark Tobin. I am the host, as I said. We're in downtown Burbank. I don't know why I like to say that. I think it reminds me of the old Tonight Show. This is a open call. This is your show, so you have a chance to call in and talk about whatever you'd like. But you got to call, and that number is 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Call in, whatever you want. Even if you want to talk about whether Kim Kardashian is pregnant, I will entertain that phone call. Just today, however, it's a special. Because next time you want to call about the Kardashians, you're out. But today, I'm taking Kardashian calls, so now's your chance. All right, we got Les on hold. Les, how you doing?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing all right. What's on your mind?
Well, I wish I'd known that Kardashians were fair game. I would have thought of something to ask about them.
Go ahead.
I caught the last few minutes of your opening, and I agree that, I don't want to misstate your position. I'm sort of perplexed at how much attention this Indiana thing is getting, and I don't know if you pay any attention. The new host, the guy who will be the new host of the Daily Show, is now under fire because of some, pretty lame jokes that he made on Twitter however many years ago. And from what I understand, the businesses in Indiana are getting hit in these Twitter wars. And it just seems like the parties that are interested in creating a furor can now do so quickly and easily that it becomes... well, let's just say interesting. But I have a question for you. And this is one of those, let's sort of ruin the whole premise by, changing the parties around. But let's say you, and what I'm thinking of is this, apparently this pizza place where the owner said that for their religious, because of their religious beliefs, they wouldn't host a gay wedding party or something. And I think some comedian has already cracked it, what gay wedding party is going to have their reception at a pizza place. But nonetheless, let's say you have a Jewish-owned business and, a group of outwardly militant Muslims wants to host a function at their place. And these people are not shy. They wave around ISIS flags, they say death to Israel, but they're not violent and they've never threatened anyone personally. Should the Jewish owners of that business be able to refuse to host that event?
You pose an interesting idea.
I've stumped you.
Well, I'm thinking, and while I'm thinking about that, I do want to talk about just Trevor Noah for a second, because I've read his tweets, and he does take on everybody. He takes on Jews and blacks and Hispanics and fat people, and I do think there is some concern there, because my concern is twofold. One is his jokes are based on stereotypes, which to me is when a comic is relying on stereotypes, it's not a healthy kind of humor, if that makes sense.
But that sounds sort of Orwellian. I mean, I'm with you on it's bad humor. It's not particularly funny, well, unless you think it is, and then you can be a fan of his. But
by the way, I'm not saying he can't make it. No, no, I didn't say that it's illegal. I'm just saying it's not healthy because it promotes those stereotypes. In that respect, the second thing is it's not funny.
And I agree with that.
Yeah, and so which is probably the worst part of it. So I'm, you know, for a show which, you know, I watch and typically am always entertained by, with a few exceptions, I'm really perplexed by the decision. You know, I guess they just wanted new blood. I mean, the guy's been with the show, what, 3 months and who, you know, whatever. But I don't know how that's going to go. You know, I've seen he's been on the show 3 times, I think. I've seen him twice.
I've never heard of the guy until this week or last week.
Yeah, I saw a couple of his deals. His first one about comparing South Africa to the United States, and that was it was funny. It wasn't like drop dead funny. It wasn't like, you know, laugh out loud hysterical funny, but it was humorous. And, you know, he played it really straight and, you know, it was kind of funny. But he wasn't like, oh my God, this guy is just awesome. But his, you know, my recommendation to the guy is, first of all, you know, stop tweeting if these are your tweets. Because maybe he's got better material. I haven't seen his stand-up. But his tweets are just, you know, as I said, based on stereotypes. Mean-spirited and not funny.
Not clever. They're really not. I'm okay. I'm actually okay with mean-spirited and based on stereotypes if it's clever. Sarah Silverman does that. You know, Sarah Silverman has some brutally stereotypical jokes about Asians and gays and others, but they're funny.
But I guess I would argue that her humor attacks the stereotype by doing so, meaning she may play into the stereotype, but in doing so, she's sort of attacking it.
I understand what you're saying. She's exposing it for its, you know, for what it is. But couldn't Trevor Noah say the same thing? I'm exposing the stereotype.
He may be attempting to. But if that's the case, he's just not successful. That may be his intent, but it's certainly not coming through in those tweets. How about that?
We agree the tweets are lame. I mean, they're just not funny.
Right, right. And, you know, that, and they're not doing, you know, if that's his intent, he's not coming close to the mark because they just they look like the same kind of tweets, you know, if they were to come from, say, you know, at Nazi Party or, you know, whatever, you'd be like, oh, okay. there's not much difference.
Can we get back to my hypothetical?
Sure. Yeah, I've been putting that off, haven't I? Look, I do, first of all, I think that there is a difference between groups that are promulgating hate and saying, you know, no, I'm not going to entertain a group which is calling for the extermination of my people and hosting them at my restaurant.
Okay.
That goes beyond religion and goes beyond
but let me slip it on you, and I don't want to interrupt, but I know that you'll have to cut me off pretty soon, and I agree
you know
with
what,
your point.
Les, I like talking to you, and we, you know, until somebody else calls, we're good, so
I agree with your point. And if you look at the side that is being that wants to come to the establishment, in the Indiana case, it's the hypothetical gay wedding or gay couple. In my hypothetical, it's the militantly anti-Israel pro-ISIS but nonviolent group that wants to come to the Jewish-owned establishment.
Oh, wait. Now you just added nonviolent.
No, I said in my first example, I said they wave ISIS flags, they say death to Israel, but they've never personally advocated any violence against any particular person. Well, although I guess you could argue that death to Israel is advocating violence.
Yeah.
So let me go on.
Go ahead. All right.
Fair point, but take that side out of it. Take the business owner side. What I was trying to get at is if my religious beliefs or my personal beliefs or political beliefs make it difficult or undesirable for me to host somebody in my business, should I be able to do that? That's what I was trying to get at. And you're saying, well, it depends on who's going to be excluded, who's going to be discriminated against. And I'm not trying to make light of your point. It's a good point. A gay wedding party is a far cry from my hypothetical, group. But I wanted to focus on, as the business owner, if I have deeply held beliefs, religious, political, whatever, should I be able to exclude somebody from coming into my business based on those beliefs?
Right. Well, let's establish. Are you excluding people based on a whole class of people? Are you excluding certain individuals because that individual, has offended you? So if you have a client, if you have a prospective client, if a lawyer has a prospective client, say, and that client is just obnoxious, offensive, odorous, that attorney.
Malodorous?
Thank you.
You mean to say smells bad or is
smells bad. Yeah, smells bad.
Okay.
Yeah, you're
I
right.
Think it's malodorous.
Malodorous.
Odorous just means he has a smell, I think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Could be good, could be bad.
Malodorous. That attorney may, even if that guy, is writing a valid check for a retainer, may say, you know what? I can't represent this guy. And that attorney has the right to turn down that client.
Sure.
Now, if that attorney says, I'm not going to represent fat people or I'm not going to represent Hispanic people, that's a different situation. That's not representing a class of people. Just like this caterer, or the baker – wouldn't represent a class of people, i.e., gays and lesbians, and so that's the distinction, and that's what the law is getting at. That they would then, based on religious rights, have the right to not cater to, literally in this case, a class of people based on religious beliefs, and that is. Based on our civil rights in this country, that is discrimination.
What I see. I see the potential for that a certain ruling class, cultural elite, intelligentsia, whatever you want to call it, gets to decide who it's fair to discriminate against and who it's not fair to discriminate against. And, for example, in our pizza shop owner that apparently said she wouldn't, host a gay wedding party. I wonder what would happen if they just said, hey, we want to bring our wedding party in there, never said the word gay, and they showed up. It's a dumb hypothetical that was, I think, posed to some pizza shop owner by some reporter trying to get a soundbite, and it just sort of got blown up.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm happy to answer that, but I take a quick break and get back to it in a second. Can you stick around?
I can.
All right. Hold on. We'll be right back on Between the Snaps.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
American Heroes Network is a program for and about our American veteran heroes and their families. Join host Gary Ray as he shows what is being done to help our veterans and showcase the companies and organizations that are helping our veterans and their families rebuild their lives. Listen for American Heroes Network, live and powered by the Voice America Variety Channel, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Women can live their lives to the fullest and realize their dreams for growth and greatness. Georgine Summers knows. As host of On the Edge, Georgine will give you powerful tools and rules to help you change direction in your life and get rid of the fears that stop you from living your dreams. Stretch your boundaries and become the amazing person you've always wanted to be. On the Edge with Georgine Summers airs live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right. Between the Synapse, we are back broadcasting from beautiful downtown Burbank. All right. Just a reminder, if you'd like to check out some of the podcasts from previous Between the Synapse, you can do so by going to my blog, which is BetweenTheSynapse.com. You can also check me out on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. And if you want to, for some reason, send me an email, it's pretty easy, MBT@BetweenTheSynapse.com. And if you'd like to sign up to receive notices for future shows, you can also do that on my blog at BetweenTheSynapse.com. Right there on the homepage, just put in your name and email. If you don't want to put in your name and remain somewhat anonymous, just put in your email. That's okay, too. So today's open line, if you want to get in on a discussion of any kind, please do so. Just give me a call, 866-472-5788. We were talking to Les about primarily the Indiana law and laws of its type. However, Les had an emergency wedding of neo-Nazi ISIS followers who apparently it was a gay wedding. I think a gay ISIS man was marrying a gay neo-Nazi man in Indiana, and he had to go. I think he was officiating, something like that. They just called him, and he had to fly up to Indiana real quick. So he was going to stick around, but anyway, he couldn't. So he had asked me a question, which by now I have, I think I've forgotten, sort of. But it had to do with ISIS followers and something of the like, ilk or whatever. But the bottom line here is, you know, who can discriminate and who makes that decision? I believe was what Les was asking about, and unfortunately, you know, we are a nation of laws and precedent, and it's not something that you know, we've got people who are just making snap decisions based upon their own beliefs. We have civil rights laws, we have case laws, we have a number of laws that have been passed in various jurisdictions establishing gay and lesbians as protected classes, and these have been going on over the past decades. It's not just here or there, but it's everywhere, to quote Dr. Seuss. So it's not an elite class. It is not a few people who are establishing the fact that gays and lesbians are protected under civil rights laws. They are protected under employment laws, and protected under insurance laws, a whole host of laws that provide protection and protect them from all kinds of discrimination. It's not a new thing, and there's a whole host of precedents that do create protection for gays and lesbians, just as there are a whole host of protections under the various civil rights laws in this country for various ethnicities, and also protections against discrimination for religions. So I know, Les, you had to jump on that plane to Indiana to perform the gay wedding of the ISIS follower and the neo-Nazi. I hope they live happily ever after. I don't know what the vows are going to be, but that should be interesting. And I don't know who is going to cater that wedding. Also would be interesting. But what really is going to be interesting is what's going to go on the top of the cake. You got a guy holding the ISIS flag, and then you got somebody that in the neo-Nazi get up. I don't know if they're holding hands or whatnot. Anyway, please, Les, if you take pictures, please email them to me. I can post them on my blog. My email is mbt@betweenthesynapse.com. I would love to see pictures from that wedding. And maybe while you're there, you check out the Final Four, which begins on Saturday. I don't know how your bracket's doing. Mine, you know what? I'm doing pretty well. Kentucky and Duke make it to the finals, I will be in the money one way or the other. One bracket, I've got Kentucky winning. Another bracket, I've got Duke winning. And I'm not going to win a lot of money, but I'll win a little bit, you know, $40 or so. So not bad. If it's something else, then, you know, I'll be out of the money, not by a lot, but, you know, not bad. You know, so a lot of people are saying this is the one of the best Final Fours ever. And certainly that's arguable, but there are facts to support that. You've got potentially four Hall of Fame coaches. You've got at least probably eight lottery picks in this deal. You've got a team going for an undefeated season, the first since, I believe, 1976, which would have been the Indiana team, to do that. You know, you've got, you know, the number of storied programs here. And then you also have, you know, two teams that are young. Duke starters, almost all freshmen. Kentucky, a little bit of mixed between freshmen and sophomores. You've got then a Wisconsin team, which is relatively more mature, particularly and names escaping me, but they're all American, 7-footer. And then you've got a Michigan State team, which is also mixed, which just really resembles Tom Izzo and the kind of ball that he likes to play, which is, you know, tough defense. And they finally started scoring some points, which they weren't early in the season. And once again, he's able to wrangle a team into the Final Four. So I think it's going to be a really, really interesting matchups on Saturday. And, you know, can't wait till Monday. I've been more into this March Madness than I have in a long time. And I'm not sure why. It's just been really, really interesting. And I have to admit, you know, if I had to pick just a favorite, it would be Wisconsin, because my wife went to Wisconsin. But the game that I'd most like to see is Duke Kentucky. I just think that would be a tremendous, tremendous finals game. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I don't know how much you guys have been watching and what your thoughts are. You know, I know there's been a lot of discussion about the quality of college basketball. And, you know, I do agree to a large extent. I think a lot of it is the youth. The age and the fact that a lot of kids don't stick around, and you know the rules haven't changed like they have in the NBA, and you know with the shot clock and with the kinds of fouls that are allowed and aren't allowed that would allow more offense to be created, and I think that they should look at that. But I think the biggest issue is the shooting. And I don't know what it is, but there just are too many missed jump shots. I don't know if it's because you know the dunk or the drive is you know, people are so enamored with that because that's what they see, you know, in the highlights. They want to try to live above the board. But the shooting overall is not really good. And you see so many guys miss so many just open jump shots that it does take away from the game. And, you know, you see that at the free throw line as well. You know, and you compare that to the NBA, which is, you know, I think stronger than ever in terms of the quality of the game, particularly in the West. So, and by the way, certain team in Texas, not in Dallas or Houston, is finally playing at a level which they've played at in the last couple of years, and that's good to see. So we've got a little bit more to talk about, but we're going to have to do that on the other side of our last break. So stick around on Between the Centers.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Museums are great places to work and wonderful places to visit. But are they essential? How can we improve our museum practice so that museums remain vital and essential players in society? Listen for Museum Life with host Carol Bossert, where each week we'll discuss timely and topical issues of concern to the museum community. Museum Life can be heard live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
think of the world
50 years ago.
Now think of this same world and how it'll be
50 years from now.
Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling. Whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. voiceamerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Between the Synapse from beautiful downtown Burbank. All right. It's been an interesting show. We've talked about a number of topics. And just a couple of breaking news items, which are kind of major. First of all, there is apparently a deal on the Iranian nuclear talks. It's a broad political agreement with some specifics that's going to be announced in a joint statement from the parties. This is according to a Western diplomat, and the agreement puts significant curbs on Iran's nuclear program, but leaves much of it intact. Okay, I'm not sure this sounds all that positive. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry sent a tweet saying that parameters to resolve major issues have been reached. And so I guess more on this later. I don't see a time that that's going to be done. The other news is that apparently the Indiana legislature has added protection for gay and lesbians to the religious protection law that was passed last week and was signed by the governor. So all very interesting. You know, this whole Iran deal, wow. No deal's better than a bad deal. That's the going in position. So I think that we're going to have to analyze whatever this deal is against that. And of course, it's not going to be characterized as a bad deal. Whatever it is, the thing about it is, from the U.S. perspective, is they didn't want to walk away without a deal. And that's where I have a great deal of concern. And I believe that Iran knew that, that the Obama administration wanted this deal so badly that they were unwilling to walk away. And, you know, they extended it again, and Iran knew that. and therefore Iran ultimately had the upper hand in these negotiations. And so I'm afraid that that is going to be represented in this agreement. And now not only are we going to see an agreement which will provide Iran with an opportunity down the road to create nuclear weapons, but we're also going to be lifting sanctions, which will allow Iran to once again lift their economy, which will then allow Iran to increase their hegemony in the region, which, by the way, they're already doing even despite sanctions. So this is just one of those things that really is a head scratcher. You know, I know that we have been at odds, to say the least, with Iran for many years, but there's been a reason for it. And it's not like things have changed dramatically from 1979. Just yesterday, they're still calling for death to America. And they're still going to be calling for death to America tomorrow. And it's not just rhetoric. So, you know, what are we doing in terms of you know, allowing our position of strength, relinquishing our position of strength, and giving it up to Iran so that they are now free to move their empire and increase their empire, both in the region as well as worldwide. So I don't think this is the last word from Iran. This is a stepping stone from where they ultimately want to go, and I'm not sure this is something that that we want to celebrate. But we'll obviously hear more about this deal probably sometime later today. All right. So, what else have we got going? I guess I'm a little speechless here. So just looking through the headlines for this thing. You know, I mean, I understand. Iran is a counterweight somewhat to ISIS. However, the ISIS compared to Iran, I mean, it's like a mosquito being compared to an elephant. And I know that ISIS is an issue, but you know, you don't strengthen the elephant in order to kill the mosquito. I mean, yeah, when they're both your enemies. So, you know, this is a crazy deal. We'll see. All right. Well, what else we got? Oh, New Jersey. We didn't really talk about New Jersey. I know I brought that up at the beginning of the show. Senator Menendez has been indicted on public corruption charges. I think everybody knew this was coming. He accepted some donations and pricey gifts from a Florida ophthalmologist in exchange for using his position to push the doctor's interests. Dr. Solomon Melgen. I don't know what kind of interest the ophthalmologist had, but we'll see. We'll see if this is much to do about nothing, and what happens with regard to Senator Menendez. But for those who say that they only go after Republicans, not true. As we can see here, interesting also to see what will ultimately happen with the issues with Governor Christie. So stay tuned for that out of the Garden State. All right, well, that's it for today's show. I want to thank you for listening. Thanks to Les for calling. Thanks to my producer, Winston Price. Thanks to Kevin behind the scenes engineering the show. And join me next week on Between the Synapse. Have a good week.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Mark Tobin and Between the Synapse will transmit once again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. And remember, you never know what lies between the synapse.